Hello and welcome to an edition of what I think is called Beans Movie Corner. The Beans Film Review. I can't remember what we were going to call it. Just a wee bit of nonsense for you, the Patreon subscribers. No Mike today, as he is working hard somewhere. And today, Henry will be reviewing the movie The Boy and the Heron, which I think is just out now.
There's a kid and his mum dies, to start with. Hmm. So it's quite, you get emotionally pulled in.
Yeah. You're sobbing fat tears.
Sobbing big fat wet tears all over my legs. Hmm. But then it deteriorates. Well, then basically he goes away with his father to stay in a sort of house in the country. So again, so far so good.
This is everything you want from a movie.
It's ticking all the major boxes. And it's set during the war, or a war, which is good.
Yeah. This is by, what's his face? Miyazaki.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, Miyazaki, is that his name?
Yeah, it's a Studio Ghibli film.
I thought he was like 100 years old.
I think he is quite old. I think it's his last film or something, maybe.
Right.
Although I think it's a bit like Elton John. He keeps on saying it's his last thing.
Right.
And keeps on and puts out another one. So everything's fine. It's based in a war. A mother's died. It's emotionally affecting. He moves to the house in the country where the father, I think, is getting together with the mother's sister. So the aunt.
Mm. I like the sound of this.
I know. It's
really
a little bit wrong.
Pervy stuff.
A little bit pervy and wrong. A little bit sinister. All good. The boy goes to his bedroom, his new bedroom. He's sad, lying on the bed. What's that at the window? It's a talking heron. The whole film is a complete toilet from now on. The talking... and he just...
I mean, can I just...
Yeah.
Mega spoiler. I'm assuming that the talking heron embodies his mother in some way?
No. Not even that. The talking heron, right? It's not even a talking heron, it turns out. It's a kind of weird fat goblin that's like inside a heron. It's really gross. So when the heron opens its beak, you can see a big sort of like warty nose and lips of a goblin who's inside the heron. And then the boy gets led into a magical sort of universe, a parallel universe, the world of the dead or something. But it's all like... Basically, what's been described as some of the critics as having the dream logic or childlike logic.
Yeah.
But basically, imagine talking to a child for 2 hours or a child telling you a story for 2 hours. That's what it feels like. Because it's like, and then this mad thing happened, and then this crazy thing happened, and then there were loads of parakeets that could talk. Came thousands of them. That happens.
Yeah.
Thousands of parakeets. There's a guy with a beard who's doing kind of Jenga, and the pieces are the universe or something. There's a huge boulder suspended above his head. Don't know why. At some point, something happens where that boulder falls apart and it has an implication for the universe.
Did you just not get it, Henry?
Well, that is...
Were you looking around at the other people in the cinema and they're all sort of stroking their chin and going, this is marvellous stuff. This is really
extraordinary.
Cool. And obviously, the children there are wide-eyed. It's nourishing their young brain, their young plastic brain.
Well, I think...
it's unlocking their powers of imagination.
Well, put it this way. The guy in the robe in front of me...
Yeah.
...was looking at his phone quite early. The people behind me were eating... The people behind me were eating so much food. And such complex food that I was very close to... Just turning around and going, listen, mate, why don't we call the Toby Carvery right now, try and just get him to bring around the fucking meat selection. And you guys can get stuck in and we can get a salad buffet set up.
Because you sound like a heron eating spaghetti.
I never actually turned around. It could have been it was actually two herons.
I mean, it's going to be huge amongst the heron community, I imagine.
Oh, okay. It's been a big hit with the herons. No one's denying that.
This and Flight of the Navigator have been the two in the last 40
years. The two big heron hits. And globally, that's hundreds of billions of dollars.
Yeah.
obviously paid in raw fish, but there are ways of converting that. So yeah, I was being irritated from both angles, weirdly, by the film in front of me and by the eating behind me, because I was just generally incensed by the whole experience. But have you ever been annoyed by people eating in a film?
So I am one of those people that doesn't get that annoyed by it in general. Okay. And I don't have thing. I think it's called misophonia.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which is where people can't stand the sight of other people eating. Yeah, I just don't have that at all.
Okay.
My partner really does.
You've got misophilia almost.
Oh, I love it. Of wet lips slapping together.
Crunchy on some gristle.
I actually, sometimes I'll go into the cinema and just hand out pate to everyone.
Pate and crackers?
And crackers, yeah. And I'd say, please, just go for it. Go for your life.
Okay.
So I don't mind that so much, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I get annoyed in the cinema, Henry. Don't get me wrong about various things. The phone thing is the big one.
People looking at the phone?
Yeah. Once I saw the film, the Pixar film, the one about the dead people...
Isn't that all Pixar films?
Well, yeah, all now basically, I think all children's pretty animations much. Are about
the undead
parent, which is incredible.
Yeah, dead parents and visiting the kingdom of the undead.
Yeah, but yeah,
Coco,
that's it. Yes,
yeah,
which I thought was amazing, and it kind of literally shot me through the heart in that kind of Pixar way. Yeah. And all the way through, there's a woman next to me who'd brought her kids, and she'd clearly gone, "This is a kids' film." So I'm not going to engage with it at all. I'm just going to play Fruit Ninja for 90 minutes. And it annoyed me because it was really distracting, but it also annoyed me because I was like, but this is wonderful what you're missing. I just thought she was such an idiot. Do you know what I mean? Whereas had someone came and played Fruit Ninja next to you during The Boy and the Heron, you'd have had a grudging respect for what they decided to do, right?
Well, no, actually, I don't think I would, because... I think I was in the paradoxical position of finding everything annoying. a bit like that Woody Allen joke about, I hate this restaurant, the food's awful, and the portions are so small.
And such small portions.
Yeah. Because it was like, I'm hating this film. Stop distracting me from this film that I'm hating.
Yeah, I see. Good point. Yes.
Yeah. I was just...
I was like, this... generally full cinema, or...?
No.
Right.
So it was playing in... A room where I reckon a sort of it was playing in, you know, if you it sort of, you know, some cinemas have a screen now which is probably the size of a millionaire's TV room rather than an actual cinema.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
you see what I mean. So it was like
sort of Branson living room vibes.
Sort of Branson living room, or the guy who runs the gyms,
Bannatyne.
It's the kind of room where you'd watch the Bannatyne, the annual Bannatyne filmed newsletter that he makes his relatives watch. Just come through. Come on. It's time. In you go. Come on, Pet. It's just pick close-ups of him working out in his gyms with his top off. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, yeah. Yeah, so those cinemas you get, you only really get those in London for some reason. The one that feel like a sort of screening room more than a cinema.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think outside
if it was in someone's house, you'd be like, wow.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. You watch like the news and stuff on this telly. This is amazing. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
And you feel a bit jealous.
You wish.
But in a cinema context, it's.
You wish the news was playing.
It's weird. I'd love some. And yeah. I'd love some news, some weather, 2 hours of weather. Stock info.
So quite quiet. You've got somebody eating behind you. You've got someone on the phone.
There were literally one. There was me, another person in the front. Two, three, four, five, six, seven. There were seven people.
Okay,
in the cinema, and it took probably took 40 or something, maybe.
So Henry, what's happening here is this is being recorded, and I'm making a decision live.
Yeah,
this is becoming a slightly meager Patreon offering.
Is that what's going to happen?
But it's kind of, this is now makes it an official Henry movie review.
Yeah.
Can you give me the kind of commodian take on this film?
But do you mean from my point of view or from Kermode's point of view?
From your, no, because of course Kermode's going to love it.
Yeah, I've heard Kermode's review of it already.
Right. So what's Kermode's point?
What Kermode?
Hello, I am Kermode.
Reviewing films forever.
And for any listeners who don't know, Mark Kermode is probably the UK's most respected, to a degree, film critic.
Yeah.
He's our Roger Ebert, if Roger Ebert was still alive.
Yeah. I mean, at any one point in time, there's only, like, I'd say two film critics globally that anyone's heard of.
Yeah.
At the moment, it's Mark Kermode and Henry Packer, as of now.
Here we go.
Kermode's take on it was, he did a thing which basically, sometimes you can see through the review, which is basically he couldn't say, and not a lot of people will say, that it's a stinker.
Right.
Because it's an old and venerable Japanese animator, Miyazaki, who's made many great films over the decades. It just feels mealy-mouthed. It'd be like if Elton John was to release an absolutely dog shit album now. It's still not going to get a lot. About a heron who discovers some sparkly shoes in his pond cupboard and sort of puts them on and becomes a global heron, like superstar, whatever. I don't know. If he was to write an album about heron now, and it was rubbish, he still wouldn't get a lot of one and two stars, I think. I think there'd be a general sense that you're a national treasure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You're a great man. We don't want to put the boot in. Luckily, I'm not constrained by any of those kinds of...
Well, that's what you get with the Three Bean Salad Film Corner.
That's why it's such a exhilarating place to be, isn't it? Because it's raw, unvarnished truth.
So when you say you're looking through Kermode's review...
Because what he was doing was, he was saying things like, I think it's a really imaginative film with full of beautiful details, wonderful music. You know, there's a way that you can be saying positive things, but you're not actually saying it's a good film or not.
Yeah,
you're not,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He can't bring himself to, because the fact is, I'm afraid it just isn't a good film. I, in my opinion, it's like listening to, it's like just being sort of shouted at by a 7-year-old for 2 hours. Just because it's one surreal, mad thing after another. It's sort of like, anything could happen. Because the other thing people are saying is it's got dreamlike logic.
Hmm.
Imagine someone telling you about a dream of theirs for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Genuinely, that's what it... I honestly think that is what it's like. And then I go into this room and there was a man and he had 5 moustaches and they were all fighting each other.
So you're saying it's kind of like one of the sort of worst episodes of Three Bean Salad ever.
It's like a sort of solid middling episode of a three bean salad,
but beautifully like animated.
But beautifully animated.
Has he got the thing that Miyazaki films have? So I've seen, there's good ones and bad ones, but
I've actually not seen that many. I don't think I've seen enough. That's why I wanted to go and see this one.
I feel like
which ones have you seen?
You can't naysay these things. That's the thing. They're too beloved.
This could almost be too hot to put out, this content.
Right? But I'm not gonna slag him at all. Pace wise, they're often a little bit languid, aren't they?
This one is exceedingly languid.
Yeah, but also the thing that's really good, and I wonder if this happens in this film, is, and I think this is quite a well worn observation, the way he animates or gets his minions to animate food. To look,
you're suggesting he gets other animated characters to animate his film.
No, but he's not animating.
The DreamWorks minions.
Yeah, he's got like a team of.
Yeah.
The way he animates food to look hyper delicious. Does this happen in this film? And there'll be like a bit where someone's carefully chopping up a fish slice and then frying an egg.
I remember
it just
that
looks
one.
Amazing.
I'm not sure if that happens in this film, but that isn't good enough. Because you could do a live action film with just a nice shot of a nice curry in it.
Yeah.
That's not going to make it a good film in its own right. You know what I mean?
I don't know. It just goes quite a long way for me. I made a Radio 4 program with the comedian and musicals performer, Natasha Hodgson, about one of her favorite books, which is called The Unconsoled by Kazuru Shiguro. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And that whole thing about that is that it has dream logic.
Oh, God.
And...
nothing worse.
And I didn't love it. I had to make a program about it, and it was interesting, but when I slogged through the 850 pages of this novel...
Oh, of dream logic.
Yeah, and basically what happens is, like, people will just appear and start talking about something completely unrelated to what's happening.
That sort of happens in this film, but yeah.
And when you start the book, he goes to a hotel, and you think, okay, fine, and he checks in, and then he talks to a porter character appears, picks up his bag, and then the porter talks for 25 pages.
Oh, God.
About the state of portering as a career in Middle Europe in whenever it is.
Kajiguro. Someone needed to just grab him by the lapels and say, Kajiguro!
Kajuru.
Kajuru.
Yeah.
Put yourself together.
And then basically this guy never appears again, is not mentioned again.
Yeah.
And people are like, what a wonderful, it's like a dream. Someone appears and gives you this information, which appears dreams important, but it's not important. It's not.
Dreams are only interesting to the person having the dream, or, you know, so I suppose the writer of the book. And that exactly. I tell you what dream logic isn't. Or I tell you what definitely isn't dream logic.
Mm.
Grisham.
Oh, no.
That's not remotely dream logic. You couldn't dream
John Grisham's never had a dream.
He's never had a dream.
He goes to sleep and it's black for 8 hours.
It's black and then there's a countdown from 10 to 0, and at 0 he wakes up. That's what happens.
He's sometimes visited by Tom Cruise asking for another role.
Yeah, but that's something that's sorted out through his agent.
Yeah.
Essentially, Tom Cruise is effectively, or an avatar of Tom Cruise, is injected into his left ear. Isn't it? In the form of a sort of microchip.
Yeah, it's not an imagination thing. No.
Yeah, held in a kind of artificial sentient plasma, which goes in through his ear canal. And he'll have a chat with Tom Cruise.
Anyway, what I want from you, Henry, is the kind of... this might be a bit of a challenge, really. You're not prepared for this.
Go on.
A sort of minute-long Kermode-style review of the film. Imagine I'm well on the radio. It's on Radio 5 Live, as they used to be. I'm Simon Mayo, a role that I've longed to play my entire life.
Yeah.
So, here we go.
Okay, so hang on. Am I doing this as me or as Kermode?
It's your opinions.
Yeah.
And it's you.
Okay.
But you see what I mean? It's that kind of potted review that he'll do. Yeah. So, let me introduce you.
I don't know if I can do this, because, I mean, it's a highly skilled profession.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or is it? We'll find out.
So, I'll be Mayo.
Yeah.
Okay, more from the Masters at Augusta later. We'll see how Tiger Woods and the rest of the golf gang are doing. But now back to our film review. Mark, what's next? You loved... what else have you reviewed this week? Kramer versus Kramer, the new sequel to Kramer versus Kramer. You loved that. What did you make of The Boy and the Heron? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, so this is the latest offering from Studio Ghibli, of course, makers of My Neighbor Totoro, My Brother the Wasp, Where Have the Chickens Gone, and The Giant Pistachio Nut That Swallowed Osaka. He's you know, one of the greatest certainly living animators. And so this is a tale set in one of the wars. It's historical piece about a small boy who's semi-orphaned, moves with his father to a rural area, but there's something unusual about this rural area. We quickly discover they're moving in with his aunt. There are seven witch-like, mysterious older ladies who attend to the boy, and we're never quite sure what they signify. The boy is emotionally distraught. He's lost his mother. The aunt is, you know, weaseling her way into her father's affections from his point of view. And then there's a scene where the boy's in the bedroom. He's on the bed in his new bedroom, very sad. There's a peck at the window. There's a talking heron. The entire film is absolute fucking dog shit from that point on.
It's your film of the week, Mark.
And it is my film of the week. The Boy and the Heron.
Okay, so I'm now thinking in terms of three bean salad format points. I think it's got to come down to finally, is it a yay say or a nay say?
Well, it's zero beans out of zero beans. It's a hard nay say.
Zero out of zero. Feels like you weren't ever giving it a chance.
It's a hard zero out of a possible three hot flaming beans.
Okay, yeah, okay, great.
It's
great.
Zero hot flaming beans. That means it's a hard nay say.
Great. Yeah, it feels like I should make a jingle for a hot nay say, but I don't know what that would be.
It's a hard nay say. Have I been too cruel though? Is this?
Well, no, you're just giving your opinion. I don't think
I got angry during it. I started looking at my shoe at one point, just looking at it.
Do you know what I hate from other cinema goers more than anything else? When them starts looking at their shoe.
I was staring at my right shoe for a long period. I took my shoes off after that.
Oh, God.
Don't know how you feel about that.
No, I mean, that's not on.
And I basically very nearly... it's the closest I've ever come to walking out, except for the time I did walk out. I walked out of a film called Mission to Mars, because it's just so bad.
What Mission to Mars?
It was years ago. There was one of those years where there was three films about going to Mars.
Is that the one with The Martian was one of them? Is that the year?
No, it's previous generation to that.
Okay.
Previous, like 10 years or something before that, I think.
Right.
There was a bunch of Mars films. That's one of the only films I've ever walked out of. The only other time I've been this annoyed in a film is, and this is again an unpopular choice, which is going to make me seem like an absolute philistine, but it was that, you may have loved this film, by the way. I couldn't stand it. It was The Lobster.
Oh, so I literally, because this is the next part of this mini Patreon episode.
Yeah.
Is me. I want to know what film to go and see this week. Right?
Okay, yeah.
So I was looking on the Cineworld website. And one of the films I can go and see is the new film by the lobster guy.
Yes, I know. And
he's called Yorgos or something, isn't it?
That's right. And he did The Favourite, which is supposed to be very good, but I haven't seen.
So there's something called Poor Things, which I can go and
that's
see.
That's right. Yeah.
But you don't like the lobster.
It kind of looks like it'll be really good, but the Poor Things. And I probably will check it out. But I couldn't stand the lobster. Did you see the lobster?
No, it looked like the sort of film that I would like, and then I never got around to seeing it.
It kind of... Basically, I think I need things like dominoes going down. One thing has to lead to another. It's Grisham logic.
Yeah.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Guilty.
Guilty. It's not I walked into a room. There was a badger. Was it a badger? No, it was a staircase.
You'd hate three bean salad.
I've never listened to an episode, mate. It's not for me. Maybe it's a busman's holiday for me, these films, whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah.
During The Boy and the Heron, I got angry. I thought about walking out. I thought it's a bad look to walk out of this film. I didn't.
Especially as a professional illustrator.
Exactly. I thought this could get back to this could hurt me.
This could get back to Quentin Blake.
This could get back to Quentin Blake. But on the way out, I considered giving the eyes to other people in the audience, hoping for a kind of bloody hell. What on earth was that absolute shit?
Yeah. Was anyone giving?
It's like
that?
Modern art these days. Sometimes you don't even know if it's a security, if that's the security guard, or if it's a person, or if it's a
comment about Mexico City.
Exactly. And is that child in a pram that's crying actually a child in a pram that's crying, or is it Yoko Ono?
And were you able to elicit anything from anyone else?
No. I think other people had... it was London. We all just kept our heads down and walked out in the end.
But maybe you're all in a kind of drained torpor from what you've had to experience for the past 2 hours.
It could be. I certainly think it's a film which pushes the need to, you know... The sort of need, the middle class or whatever it is, or the kind of the need to feel that one likes certain kinds of film.
Yeah, I've always had that slightly with those films. Yeah,
it really pushes it to the maximum. This particular one. But what you want is not a Grisham logic, not dream logic, you're on Grisham logic, which is something happens here and it's proof that something else happened.
Yeah.
And someone else will use that to prove to someone else that that thing did happen and that person will eventually agree. So everything was relevant. Everything added up to something.
Yeah. No room even for a red herring?
Not even a red herring, please.
Okay.
Well, no, you can. No, you can have. You can have. You know, you can have. You can have one red herring. The red herring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you want it to be so obvious that you're just thinking, that's a red herring.
Well, ideally, you can have a subtitles version where it says, "This is the red herring" at the bottom of the screen when it comes up.
MacGuffin alert.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to read you the list of things. I'm going to see one of these things in the cinema. So.
Okay.
And then we'll wrap up. Okay. One Life. Starring Anthony Hopkins and, sorry to define her by her old husband, but I can't remember her name, Tim Burton's old wife.
Helena Bonham Carter.
Helena Bonham Carter, yes.
Yeah. Well, one thing I would say is you've only got one life, so don't see The Boy and the Heron.
Yeah. But should I see One Life?
This is the kind of banter we can use what's it called? Film Corner?
Yeah, Film Corner. It's not a good name. We can work on it. I mean, this is going to be very sporadic, Film Corner, so, you know.
Your second and third favourite beans discuss a film of the week. That could be a little headline, a little subtitle. Okay, so, yeah, so One Life... Okay, my feeling with One Life is...
It looks boring. I don't even know what it is, but it looks boring.
Well, and it's about someone that rescued people from the Holocaust. So it's
I can't say that's boring. Exactly. I didn't realise it was that. It's that guy... I've seen the video, the guy when he's on This Is Your Life, and they...
That's right.
They say you saved all these people. Yeah. Oh, that's an amazing story.
I've got a feeling it will be a film that is quite conventional and doesn't sort of break too many molds in terms of the storytelling. And therefore, I'm going to love it.
No, but I know what you mean. It looks very, I can kind of imagine the film from beginning to end, I think.
I feel like it's got TV film vibes.
Yeah, okay. All right. Next up, Priscilla.
What's that?
I think it's about Priscilla.
Yeah, not Queen. Yeah, not Queen of the Desert. Well, that's from, not Sue Barker, that's from Thingy Coppola, isn't it?
Oh, is it? So it's going to be stylish AF.
It'll be stylish AF. The soundtrack will be one to save. Well, it'll probably be mainly Presley songs, won't it? Well, although she's the kind of radical filmmaker. Sort of,
some dance music from the 90s.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see that, I don't think.
I'm not going to say that because, as we've discussed on the podcast, I abhor a music biopic.
Yes. Okay. Next. This one, I think, is probably the most promising.
Yeah.
It's not in English. It's in a language called Telugu.
Okay.
I'm looking that up. It's a language native to the states of southern India.
Okay.
It's called Devil, the British Secret Agent.
Oh, well, I mean, that sounds quite good.
It does look actually quite good.
That sounds like it doesn't have a lot of dream logic in it.
It follows a British secret agent who takes up the job of solving a dark mystery. He is led into a web of love, deceit, and betrayal. His success and failure can change the course of history. Yes!
Sounds good.
I mean, I don't know much about Indian cinema outside of the kind of obvious, Bollywood tropes. But I don't think it's Bollywood. I think
it's not going to be singing and kissing behind a tree.
Looks good. Okay, yeah. Anyone But You? Looks like a comedy starring some people that look like they should be famous, but I've never heard of them.
Can I say, what we're discussing here is kind of evidence of something which is increasingly true, isn't it? Which is basically there aren't any good films anymore, which is a bit of a shame.
This week there certainly aren't any good films. I'm not really excited about anything.
Anyone But You? Oh, yeah, this looks really dreadful. This looks like a really cynical, algorithmically written...
Yes, in fact, those actors might even be AI.
Non-com.
Yeah.
That's quite good, isn't it? By
So in the comedy Anyone But You, Bea and Ben look like the perfect couple, but after an amazing first date, something happens that turns their fiery, hot attraction ice cold. Is that... Do they find that they're related, I assume?
It must be that, mustn't it? It's just another incest borecom.
Yet another one. Yeah. Okay, next is Ferrari. Yeah. Now, Ferrari, I've got no interest in whatsoever. It's, what's his...
Wait, can I just pause you? I was quickly go back to this rom-com. I'm looking at the main actor. He's too muscly, I'm sorry. In the glory days of rom-coms in the 80s and 90s, When Harry Met Sally. Can you imagine Billy Crystal's like body?
Yeah, exactly. John Hannah in Sliding Doors.
Exactly.
Just normal bloke.
This guy is so muscly, it's grotesque. I can't deal with it. Okay.
Ferrari is the next one.
That will definitely be bad.
Yeah. And I saw a trailer for it, and they've aged up. What's his face? Yeah. The guy
Adam
from
Driver.
Girls.
Adam Driver, yeah.
To look like a sort of middle-aged or elderly Italian man?
Well, I think that's the character he's playing, to be fair. I mean, that can happen in films.
But he's so miscast. He's so much younger than the character.
I know, yeah.
You can't do that.
Also, he's just played a famous Italian sort of brand leader in House of Gucci.
Was he in that?
Yeah, I think so. Hang on, let me just double check.
Are you thinking of Jared Leto?
Yeah. No, Jared Leto was in it as well, but... House of Gucci was Adam Driver.
Oh.
And that film was Pantalones. Look, we're finding our feet with the tone of this film podcast, okay?
Don't call it a podcast. I don't want people thinking this is becoming a weekly thing.
I know. It's not.
This is just us, because we're full Pompidou. We are meant to be doing something else.
Yeah.
The two of us. But we've ended up doing this.
We're supposed to be having an
impact. And we do have a deadline in 6 minutes.
That film was very poor. That was a...
Well, I saw a two-minute clip of that in which Jared Leto is doing an Italian accent that you'd have to describe as the Mario Brothers.
It would I didn't know if it would make it into a Mario's film or computer game. It was so broad.
Well, famously, it was most recently, Chris Pratt plays Mario. And he doesn't have an Italian accent. He just sounds like Chris Pratt.
Oh dear.
I know.
That's gone too far the other way. But it's an okay film. Jared Leto does his best to absolutely torpedo it. with basically the broadest Italian I've ever since Pavarotti.
Hey,
is that going? No, that's not going in.
I think it's fine. It's not offensive.
Well, we're finding our feet, aren't we?
Pavarotti was a broad man. I don't think he would have argued with you.
No, you're right. Okay, fine.
Okay, next up. This is my possible for the week.
Okay.
Which is Taika Waititi's Next Goal Wins.
Oh, yeah, that
now, obviously,
that's pretty good.
Taika Waititi tends to make really good stuff. I mean, I think everything he's made has been worth watching. It's good.
Hunt for the Wilder People.
One of the best films, I think, one of my favourite films ever.
Me too. Absolutely amazing film, yeah. Yeah.
Jojo Rabbit was okay.
Didn't see it.
Fine.
Okay.
But this one looks a little bit like I'm not going to love it, but I'm not sure why.
Well, presumably it's taking its place in the pantheon of sort of sporting comedy films, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings.
Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks. Neither of us are film experts, are we? Is that part of the USP of this?
I think so, yeah. We don't even watch that many films.
I don't watch that many films. I reckon slightly below average. So it's taking its place. So the sporting... It's an underdog tale, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I assume... I think...
It'd be loosely based
on... Is it about a kind of small island nation that then end up competing in a bigger tournament and winning the World Cup? Not that, but you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing.
Yes, it'll be that. And the good thing about those sporting films is you get all the stages. You get assembling the squad. You get first warm up, first warm down, buying socks. You know, you get all those stages. And then the various different sort of heats and then getting through to the bigger and bigger. It's got a nice structure to it. Not Dream Logic. It's finals. You know, it's quarterfinals. It's group stage, quarterfinal, semifinal, final, cup. You know what I mean? Like, it's got a nice...
And they're not winning it, but in the end, the thing they wanted all along, they didn't realise, was the camaraderie rather than the actual silverware itself.
Yeah.
I'm going to read you the synopsis.
Okay.
Next Goal Wins tells the story of the American Samoa soccer team who suffered the worst loss in World Cup history, losing to Australia 31-0 in 2001.
Okay, so that's a sort of subgenre of the sporting comedy, which is stories about people that did really badly, like Eddie the Eagle.
Yeah.
There's a few others like that, yeah. And Cool Runnings, yeah.
With the 2014 World Cup approaching, the team recruits a down-on-his-luck maverick coach, brackets Fassbender.
Yes, controversial, or sort of interesting casting. because he is as he has the you know, all the comic dexterity of a pair of oven gloves. Doesn't he? He's God, it's absolute, we're exploding sacred cows on this, aren't we? No, he's a very good actor, but he's straight as an arrow. He's absolutely dead serious. Normally.
Also, the getting the down on your luck maverick coach, that's straight up Cool Runnings as well, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. And also, in a lot of these films, the coach will be on their last chance saloon. They probably have to literally get him out of a saloon a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Where he's sort of given up and
I think they
tempt him back.
Front runner at the moment. It's going to be quite fluffy, but it might be fun. That's my front runner.
Yeah.
Next, The Boy and the Heron, brackets dubbed.
I think enough's been said on that.
Okay.
I didn't see it dubbed.
The Boy and the Heron, brackets subtitled.
That's the one I've seen.
Okay.
Don't think it would make a big difference either.
Okay.
Way.
The next one is the one that's filling all the screens and that is most of what this cinema is showing.
Yeah.
Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Piss off.
Yeah, no interest whatsoever. Next, Godzilla Minus One.
I'd give
maybe
it a, potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Godzilla. Is it set in World War II or something?
Japan devastated after the war faces a new threat in the form of Godzilla.
Yeah.
So it's very much out of the frying pan into the fire. It's a potential, isn't it? Next up is Wonka.
My thing, okay, this is again potentially a really noxious naysay. I've not seen it yet, but I mean this is almost unacceptable what I'm about to say. I don't know how intrigued I am or how much I love the character of Willy Wonka. Sorry, I find that film quite bizarre. I don't know, like I just don't love it.
It's not Grisham enough for you, is it?
It's just not Grisham enough. I want the trial where Wonka is exposed and brought down for just massively, you know, abusing his position of power as a confectionery magnate.
Next up is Disney's Wish. Not heard of this?
No, don't know about that.
It's a musical comedy about. I've read the synopsis. I've also got no idea.
I mean, it sounds like they're all called Wish, basically, aren't they? I mean, effectively. I mean, it sounds like it's just any Disney film.
It's a new musical comedy welcoming audiences to the magical kingdom of Rosas, where Asher, a sharp-witted idealist, makes a wish so powerful that it is answered by a cosmic force, a little ball of boundless energy called Star. Together, Asher and Star confront the most formidable foe, the ruler of Rosas, King Magnifico, to save her community and prove that there will be... When the will of one courageous human connects with the magic of the stars, wondrous things can happen. That sounds
absolutely awful. And I'm looking at the front car, I'm looking at the poster. This King Magnifico bloke, he's got a goatee.
He looks like a sort of a magician you might get at a wedding, doesn't he?
He really does. I just think, why is it Americans are obsessed with goatees? Everyone's got a goatee in America. Have you noticed that?
We've talked about this before. We've talked about an element of this before. So, you know, there's that guy on Twitter called Derek Guy, who's about menswear.
Yes. Yeah. Has he got a goatee?
No.
Don't tell me that. Oh,
so, we had a chat about that. Then you put me onto a podcast, which was about fashion.
Yeah.
So, I'm having a bit of a fashion moment where I'm getting a little bit interested in clothes.
Yeah.
And so, I thought I'm on Reddit. I'll join the menswear Reddit.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Everyone on the menswear Reddit is an American man with a goatee who dresses fucking terribly.
I know. So many American people are that people. Here's what I find. If you know when you sort of randomly Google a name, like any name.
Yeah.
You know when you Google a name, you're trying to find someone you know or maybe a famous person, you've got... Yeah. So like, Jeffrey Stewart, let's say.
Yeah.
What happens is, and you Google it, and the first like 10 people that come up on Google or on Google Images are just American people called Jeffrey Stewart that have a goatee.
You're right. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're getting to the end of this. It's taking longer than I thought.
Yeah.
Next is The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I've never seen a Hunger Games film, so it'd be,
I saw the first one.
It'd be a weird place to start, I think. This probably is the fifth one, I think.
And I think it's like they've even gone back to the beginning of the origin of the legend of the myth of the prequel. It's gone back in time to the whatever. Yeah,
And that's it. So I think the winner might be... It's between, for me, Godzilla Minus One and that one about football by Taika Waititi.
Or... do what you really want to do, which is stay in and have another Kramer versus Kramer marathon. I think we have to draw this to a close now. I'm desperate to go to the loo.
Also, we have got work to do. Our deadline was 11 minutes ago.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was...
Film Corner with two out of the three beans.
What do you feel like people's reactions to this will be? I think it will be that they think we don't really know what we're talking about.
Yes. But it's never stopped us before. But I think we're we're unencumbered by too much knowledge.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And also we don't have so much skin in the game. Like all the other critics are like friends with like directors and stuff, and they can't slag them off.
Yeah.
Whereas we've got no connections. We've got no.
And that's why Mike Gook could never do this.
That's why Mike could never do this. So connected. He's in far too deep with these people.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Bye.